Welcome to Bare Roots,
the podcast that unearths the truth.
Allegedly.
We're your hosts. I'm Alina.
And I'm Shannon.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Bare Roots Podcast. Today, we have an episode dedicated to the late Brittany Murphy, who was an absolutely terrific actress who is sadly gone too soon in Hollywood. And right now there's been like a lot of buzz with Brittany Murphy. HBO Max came out with like a two-part documentary style talking about her death. And so it's definitely on a lot of people's brains. So we wanted to come in and talk about it and just go over what people are saying, because she definitely has a mysterious death and people have a lot to say about it. But overall, how do you feel, Shannon, about today's episode?
Today I feel good. Like you, watched the docuseries on her death, and I knew some tidbits on it, but I definitely didn't know the whole picture, or at least the picture that this docuseries paints. I have some, I guess, yeah, strong opinions on it. I don't know if you do either, but yeah, I'm ready to jump into it.
Yeah, same. It was an interesting documentary. There are some side comments that I definitely want to talk about.
Yeah.
About the documentary. But like you, I had a general understanding of her passing away. I think from what I remember, it was more of she died too quickly, like in terms of just way too young. And I knew that. I definitely chalked it up to be a drug-related problem. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was mysterious in terms of whatever the answer was, and I couldn't remember from like way back when, but it just like didn't settle right. And I just remember there was a lot of speculation about it, but documentary and like the research we did definitely paints more of a bigger picture of what happened and like what was going on.
Right. And it is such a tragedy. And it's kind of clear that, you know, if one thing had changed, she would have been fine.
So true. Just so sad. And it seems at the end of the day could have been preventable, which it just like breaks my heart to think that, again, like this could have been preventable and like she could be here and, you know, maybe working on her career and creating content and movies and shows, whatever she wants, because she was so talented and so iconic. And I think for a lot of people, her personality just radiated naturally through the camera. So just gone too soon for so much talent.
Yeah, totally. I guess we'll just jump right into it.
Yeah, let's.
So Brittany Murphy was born on November 10th, 1977, which weirdly enough is, we're recording this on November 9th. So that is tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow would have been her birthday.
This comes out about a month later for you guys, but weird. We did not plan it that way. She was born in Atlanta and she ended up moving to LA as a teenager to pursue a career in acting because she was doing a really good job there in Atlanta. Her father was in and out of prison and she was raised by her mom, Sharon Murphy. Her breakthrough role was in 1995 in the movie Clueless, which I have not seen, and I feel like I definitely need to.
Oh my gosh, you definitely need to. I'm sure you've seen so many clips of it and just the highlights that it's almost as if you've seen the movie, like, that's if.
Yeah.
and the iconic yellow plaid outfit. So I can see how, maybe not that you've not seen it, but just feel like you've seen it because it's just so iconic.
Yeah. I wanted to watch it before this episode, but it took a lot for me to log into HBO Max. It was a lot of text back and forth between my brother and I, and there just wasn't enough time to do both.
Well, now it's on your to-do list, so you definitely need to see it. It's a very, very good chick flick movie.
Good. Okay, we'll do. So from then on, she was consistently cast in roles. My favorite being Uptown Girls. Did you watch that one?
Oh, such a good movie.
Little Dakota Fanning.
So good. My God, like that girl has so much talent, Dakota Fanning.
Oh, I know. So she was doing well, pretty good. One of the It Girls. She was there with, you know, like Kristen Dunst and all of that crew. Mm-hmm. And after a lot of height and fame, she was cast in a few roles that, you know, movies that didn't go well, as you do. Mm-hmm. And so she was kind of in a little bit of a rut when she met Simon Munjack, who was a screenwriter, film producer, director, and a makeup artist. He was British, and they started dating. He was 7 years older than her, which isn't a big deal, but when you actually look at them, it looks a lot. And I know that doesn't mean anything, but mm-hmm. just wait until we get into this guy's personality.
Yeah.
And you'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
So they get together. They get married. Brittany, Simon, and her mother, Sharon, all lived in the same house in LA or Beverly Hills. And it's a little weird. Like, I mean, it's not terribly weird. People have, I guess, multi-generational family or households, you know, like that's fine.
Yeah.
But one thing that the docuseries didn't go into that much, which I had heard about prior, was Brittany's relationship with her mother and how they were very kind of codependent on each other and inseparable. And like, it was the only two people in the world for them, best friends, you know, one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the docuseries didn't really go into it that much, but I just want to add that to the storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So once she's married to Simon, people start noticing that she is getting thinner and thinner and thinner. And there are mm-hmm. rumors of cocaine and eating disorders. In 2005, in an interview, she claimed that she never touched any drugs, but the paparazzi, Perez Hilton, all of them were very finger-pointy at, she must be on drugs, she must be on drugs. And she did have some weird interviews where she seemed a little loopy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at this time, too, the idea of an actress, well, I mean, I shouldn't say the idea of an actress, you know, having an eating disorder is crazy, you know, definitely exists even till today. But that anorexic, like that small, frail yeah. thing was very, very popular in Hollywood. You had people like Lindsay Lohan at that mm-hmm. time, Paris Hilton, the Olsen twins, mm-hmm. where they were so frail. So it was almost popular, like definitely not oh, yeah. what we see today.
No. Yeah. It's more curves today. And, mm-hmm. you know, it was the low rise jeans and yep. yeah, like the hip bones sticking out over the yep. low rise jeans. Yeah.
Yeah, it was bad.
At one point, it was, yeah, I guess it was post Clueless. So it's still kind of early in her career. She was told that she would never get any leading lady roles at the weight she was at. So that's when she actually dyed her hair blonde and she kind of altered her image to be that Hollywood image. And she lost a lot of weight then, but it just continued. And that's when like the drug talk started.
Which was so sad because the way she was absolutely perfect. No, right. at all. Like, was she overweight or anything like that?
No, not even a little bit.
Not even. Yeah, exactly.
So her friends noticed that she became more and more isolated after marrying Simon, and she was becoming, again, more thin than ever. And after filming for 2 days in Puerto Rico in 2009, she was fired from the movie she was working on. And there were rumors that Simon got in an altercation with somebody on set, maybe like threw a punch or something, got her fired. And her mom and Simon all left Puerto Rico to go back to LA. And they were all feeling under the weather, kind of like flu symptoms. Then December 20th, 2009, she died from allegedly pneumonia at the age of 32 in her LA home.
Yeah, which is so sad. And at the time, Simon was also her manager. So the whole idea of her being isolated, not only in like a personal aspect with like friends and family, but also even in her career.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to dig into. So that's kind of just mm-hmm. the surface level that we went through. But we're going to go a lot deeper because there's a lot of personalities that we have to sift through.
Yes, exactly. So her death has probably been one of the biggest speculations in like what happened, because given the whole background, and again, we'll dive into it, but it definitely seems suspicious. And so people have a lot of questions about her death. And at the start of the day on December 20th, an ambulance was called at 8 a.m. to Brittany's home because she apparently fell in the bathroom. So the first responders came and they tried to resuscitate her there, but eventually took her to the hospital where she sadly passed away. So an autopsy was performed the next day and a report came out in February stating that the cause of death was pneumonia, but there were secondary factors involved as well, which were severe anemia, which is an iron deficiency, and multiple drug intoxication. However, the drugs that were found in her were legal drugs. So it wasn't by any means like coke or anything.
Right.
Again, illegal. They were actually medical drugs for the treatment of colds. And the person who performed the autopsy said that the anemia was fatal. The pneumonia was fatal. And the over-the-counter drugs could have been the last straw.
Right.
So it was just like a concoction of just bad things, but by no means was it, I don't want to say the word illegal, but by no means is it like off.
Yeah, because it was like just suspicious. You know, pretty much yeah. over-the-counter drugs, you know, like
yeah,
it's your Dayquil, it's all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I'm pretty sure in the docuseries they said that the anemia was her levels were at 3, and if I'm correct, I think if you're anything below a 12, you can't give blood anymore, because I've been anemic before, and I went to go get, and I didn't know, and I went to go give blood, and they're like, you're at 11, and you can't. So to be at 3 is insane.
Yeah.
And it makes you weak, it makes you hard, like you can't climb a flight of stairs without feeling weak, it makes you cold, and yeah, if you have pneumonia on top of that, and then you're taking, I don't know, like cough suppressants, and you have all this fluid in your lungs, like that's only like that's not not yeah. gonna help you.
Exactly. There's only so much your body can process at that state. And so there was a guy named Ed Winter, and he was the coroner who handled Murphy's case. And he said that had someone taken her to the doctor, like to an actual hospital, a few days before, she would probably still be alive. And it really was due to her not getting enough rest, and her immune system was just dropping rapidly, which is so sad. Of course, this is when paparazzi started getting involved, finding out the death of Brittany Murphy. So a lot of speculation started to happen. And when you hear of a celebrity passing away at their own home, I think a lot of people automatically assume drug overdose. So at that time, her mother and husband claimed that Brittany didn't use drugs and her death was caused by a heart condition. This is again where people speculate, is this true? Is it not true? There just seems to be more to the story, essentially, is what like the public felt. And sadly, about 5 months later, Simon actually passed away, her husband, on May 23rd in 2010, and he was found dead in the same exact home due to pretty much the same exact cause.
Yeah, I think the fact that he died of basically the same causes as Brittany threw a lot of flags up in the air, and people, that's what, you know, people were suspicious of Brittany, Brittany's death, but then you know, they could kind of believe the on-the-record story. But then when he died too, they're like, okay, something else must be going on. Because they're both young, you know, they're only in their 30s. They shouldn't be dying of pneumonia.
And between such a short amount of time, like 5 months.
Right.
Insane.
And just the fact that they died in the same place too, you know. Like, what is up with this house? What happened here?
Yes. Exactly. And so there's been a bunch of different theories out there, which we'll dive into after our break. Alrighty, so let's talk about a few different theories that people have speculated between Brittany and Simon.
Right. So the first one we're going to go over is mold. So again, once Simon died, people were like, hold on, what is in this house? How could this happen? Simon's stepfather, who was in construction, was worried that it could have been mold after he died. He, you know, he brought it up. And then I know their publicist said that he noticed mold in windowsills around the house. So the LA County Department of Health considered toxic mold being in the house, and they did a, remediation. There was mold in the house, and symptoms of mold in the body can be disorientation, headaches, and both Simon and Brittany had those kind of symptoms. And at first, Sharon, Brittany's mom, discredited the mold theory, saying it was absolutely absurd. But later, actually in 2011, she changed her opinion and stated that it was the cause of her daughter's death. However, when they looked back into the autopsy, the examiner did not find any evidence of mold in Brittany's lungs. And typically you can see the spores in there, which is, that's
messy.
Disgusting. I don't know if you noticed or if you were watching this part, but when they showed the little reenactment of the lung pieces going into the test tube, do you remember that?
I actually don't.
Because the examiner was saying how she tested the lungs for pneumonia, and apparently your lungs are supposed to float when put in water because they're filled with air. And the test to do it is they cut up pieces of the lung and then just drop them in a solution. And if they float, cool. If they sink, then that's bad. And she said like 3 out of the 4 pieces sunk. So that meant that her lungs were really saturated with mucus and liquid, which would be pneumonia. But the image, the video that they did, the reenactment, it literally looked like pieces of chicken, like raw chicken that they were putting in the beaker. And it grossed me out so much. It's like, is that what her lung looks like? Disgusting.
I can't look at chicken again.
I know. Actually, I had chicken for dinner tonight. It did disturb me, though. But to bring it back, it did still, people were confused by this. They didn't really believe it. And they said, again, she was 32. I guess he was 39. How did pneumonia kill them? And then Sharon's living there too, and she did it. How would mold, Sharon was living in the same house, how would it not kill Sharon, who's at least in her 50s, if not 60s,
Exactly. And that's what I thought too. I'm like, this makes no sense, because how did it get 2 of the young people, but not 1 of the older? And she's living in the house as well. It just seems a little suspicious. The only thing that I guess I can understand from this theory is the idea of trying to connect the pieces of Simon and Brittany's death. Like, what is in this house that just is causing this sickness that they both share, and is the cause of death? And mold seems to be the most logical answer in this, but at the same time, evidence literally shows that there's nothing connected to mold. But it's just strange. It's just a strange thing what happened to them.
And I was looking up the mold stuff, and they said that, I found something that was like, it's not even proven that black mold is even bad for you. Mm-hmm. Like, hold on, what? Mm-hmm. And it said something like, it's not connected to, like, people believe it's bad, and I'm sure it's not great for you, but it's not connected to serious, fatal disease at all. Or there's no evidence for it at this time, which I thought was really interesting, because I always thought that, you hear black mold and you're like,
oh yeah,
not good.
Think about cheeses.
Think it's about like cheeses. Oh yeah. I said Jesus.
Think about Jesus.
I'm trying.
you got blue cheese made out of, mold, and it's just, we eat that.
I mean, a lot of like mushrooms and stuff are kind of just mold.
Yeah. So it's like, as humans, can we take mold, to a certain extent? Again, probably not the best for you, but I don't know. This theory just doesn't land for me.
Yeah. No, unfortunately not. The second theory is actually poison. So Brittany's estranged father claimed that she was poisoned. And this was after she died, obviously. And after a couple of years, he came out. It's like, or it might have been after Simon died. She's been poisoned. I have no doubt in my mind that she's been poisoned. And his claims were specifically based on previously unseen reports that found high concentration of heavy metals in Murphy's hair. And that sounds really bad, you know? Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Because, you know, people do get poisoned with heavy metals. Like, that's not an uncommon thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds really, really bad. But in the docuseries, they showed that the metals were in the hair and not in the roots. So, and they weren't in her bloodstream. So she really couldn't have been poisoned by heavy metals because it wasn't in her body. It was just in her hair. Mm-hmm. And they could in fact come from different products she used in her hair, different hairsprays and dyes. And she dyed her hair a bunch.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes a lot of sense to me. A lot of people were suspicious of Sharon after Simon died, because again, there are three people living in that house. Only one survived, and all of Brittany's money was left to Sharon. So one could say that she might have motive. But this docuseries really didn't go into it that much. There was kind of like, that's ridiculous, and then went on their way. But I know a lot more people think that she's suspicious. I don't think she would do anything like that. Obviously don't know her, but I just don't get from the interviews that I watched with her in it. It just seemed like she could be very easily manipulated. I don't see her in the being the manipulator light.
Yeah.
But yeah, poison was kind of off the table because it wasn't in her system at all.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like it's a theory that was thrown out there. Mm-hmm. But pretty much not a concrete, stable one that people stand on. And like you said, even the documentary, they brought it up because I think people have talked about it, but it was like quickly brushed aside.
Right.
And the last theory is all about Simon Munjack. And we're going to talk about him and kind of the role that he played in Brittany's life and even in her death. So there were reports from her coworkers directly, like warning her about marrying him and just saying that the relationship was very fast paced. And they thought that she should put the brakes on in terms of just getting married. And just, if anything, probably just date him since they had met so quickly and the relationship just jumped forward. And there was an account where Allison Burnett, who's a filmmaker, she recalled meeting Simon at a dinner party, and he had lied about owning 17 Ferraris, dating Madonna, and surviving brain cancer thanks to an experimental treatment. And these all were things that were just so elaborate and such big lies. And she said it was very obvious to her that he was using the woman that he was dating at the time for money. It's very much like a status thing for him, you know, bragging about these cars, the woman he's been with. And so I think he just wanted to make himself, you know, seem better and bigger than the truth. And so for him to have married Murphy in 2007, like so quickly, this must have been like the jackpot for him, you know, if we think in those terms.
Yeah.
So once she married him, kind of like a classic abusive relationship in the sense that the person will isolate you from your friends and family, taking on this more controlling role in your life between like your job, friends, and family. So it was found that once they did get married, they definitely became more recluse and staying to their homes, and they were never really photographed out. And one thing that was actually said in the documentary was a woman, and her name was Elizabeth Ragsdale, and she was actually previously engaged to Simon, like back in the UK. And she said that he would manipulate and isolate her, Elizabeth, and he even claimed that he had cancer so that she would get pregnant And once she did, he refused medical help when she needed it. So the whole idea of him being controlling and isolating is very much on track to like what he did to Brittany. So she said this very much sounded exactly like him and something that he would do.
Right. And this was a person that Brittany didn't know about. She didn't know about mm-hmm. the child. Sharon didn't know. Like, nobody knew that this person and this baby existed. One thing that was wild to me was that, okay, he's claiming to have cancer. And he says, like, we have to have a kid because, like, I'll be sterile afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
But what was his goal? I just don't understand. And then immediately he wanted her to give birth in the U.S. So he put her on a plane and then he ghosted her. What was the point of getting this woman pregnant? I really do not. Why would you want more strings attached to this woman? I just don't.
I don't get it either. Just
what is there to gain?
This legacy feeling, like the feeling of power, like you're leaving behind something. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
Can you get any sort of visa or something like that if your child is born in the U.S.?
I don't know.
We'd have to look into that, but that might be something. Like if you
maybe
have a child like born in the U.S., you might be able to maybe more easily get a visa or something, mm-hmm. like a permanent residency. But yeah, it's just so weird. And I think another thing that stood out to me was the fact that people who knew Simon described him as very charming, very persuasive, yeah. very smart. So again, just like the classic controlling person in a relationship and, you know, taking away the person that they're dating and manipulating them. It's just a classic case of that.
Yeah.
And many people did comment saying that Simon seemed to be the one in control and of Brittany and later Sharon. And even his mother and brother said he knew how to manipulate everyone. So when the police came to the crime scene, they had found 90 different prescription bottles on Simon's nightstand with different people's names on them. So it definitely looked suspicious.
Yeah. And like he was being shady about, you know, you can only have so many prescriptions out with one doctor. So mm-hmm. you put some under Brittany's name, you put some under this fake alias's name, and now you all of a sudden have 90 bottles on a nightstand. Good God.
Exactly. And another red flag that people talked about was the fact that he asked there not to be an autopsy. So it was just more of like, what do you have to hide in right. terms of not wanting it? If it's truly pneumonia and she got sick, like there's nothing to hide. So people were wondering what is up with that.
Yeah. And he said that he didn't want anybody to be cutting her up, but it's like, I don't know, man, you're trying to find out the truth, like what.
Yeah, exactly, the cause of death and whatnot. So a little bit later, a weird photo shoot came out with Simon and Sharon, and they were embracing and holding each other, which if you look at the photo, it just seems like extremely weird. They mm-hmm. almost looked like they were husband and wife and not really a mother and son-in-law type of relationship.
Yeah.
And yeah, there's something weird going on. Like
the photos were uncomfortable to say the least.
Yeah.
And can you imagine? Can you imagine being the publicist and being like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This is what you gave me? Good God. Like, how do I clean up this mess?
So bad. And there was one reporter that Simon had talked to who he let film inside of the house. And she had noticed that both sides of the master bed sheets were ruffled as if two people were sleeping there. And he said that he and Sharon would cry together in bed. Just like, what?
So messed up. Not good. Not good.
And the documentary kind of touched upon this, but as you mentioned earlier, it was Brittany and Sharon, like the mom, just them together. Mm-hmm. So I can kind of see psychologically Brittany wanting to marry someone who claims to be this wealthy, career guy, and that not only could he take care of her, Brittany, but could also take care of her mother.
Right.
And so I feel like that relationship, that's where it just kind of gets weird.
Very much so.
The three of them. Yeah. So of course, you know, the media finds out, the public, sadly, about Brittany's death. And so Simon and Sharon started the Brittany Murphy Foundation, and they decided to have a memorial. And Simon, weirdly, wanted to charge friends and families to attend, and saying that all the proceeds would go to the foundation. But of course, there was an outrage, and it was quickly dissolved, and there was no memorial to be had. So it's just like, I don't know. It's like, I understand the intention of like, okay, let's, you know, raise money for this memorial for a foundation. But at the same time, to charge your friends and family to go to a memorial, that just seems out of whack.
Yeah, you can raise money for your foundation without it being through a memorial. Like, that's not the
point
of a memorial whatsoever.
Exactly. And this, again, red flag for so many people. They thought, was this him trying to get money and just kind of take it for himself, essentially, and claim that it's to the Brittany Murphy Foundation? Because, again, who does that? Who charges to attend a funeral or a memorial, especially, again, when it's close family and friends? Overall, at the end of the day, the police didn't investigate him for murder, and they really found no evidence of foul play. But the closest thing that they had to say about him was they hold him responsible for her downfall in the years leading up to her untimely death. And just in the sense where her overall health, with her, like, the frailness and the energy levels, like, it definitely was obvious, like, physically she was not at her healthiest state. After he died, it came out that he had a child in Britain who we actually just talked about earlier. That Britney,
yeah, but there were two.
Yes, you're right. There were two. Yeah. Yeah. I think a lot of people only thought there were one, or at least that guy who was like, what?
Yeah.
Two?
Both were very hush-hush, and then they found out that he had one, and then it wasn't until recently that they found out that there were two. And who knows, maybe there's more.
Yeah, which is really crazy. And it was found that he spent about $3 million of Britney's money over the 3 years, and said that he was investing it in property and jewelry, but none of that was real. So people speculate that a lot of that money was going towards the secret children to keep him hush hush, because it's like, oh, now he's dating Brittany Murphy, this well-known actress in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want it, one, the relationship to end, because that means his money supply would get cut off. Mm-hmm. But two, that would just be like a bigger deal for him and just like ruin everything he would, quote unquote, work towards.
Right. And I'm sure it went to go pay for all his debts that he accumulated and couldn't pay for for years and years and years.
Exactly. So what do you think about this? I mean, I definitely have my own thoughts. And for me, like, I guess where my tinfoil hat lands is, I don't think Simon necessarily had any foul play in terms of a deliberate death, whether it's like an overdose of like drugs or poison or whatever. Like, I don't believe in that. But I do think he had a mental, emotional, physical control over her. And I do think that was what caused her the detriment of her health. So it's almost like, maybe at the end of the day, he didn't physically kill her, but there was definitely a lead up to her health going down.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. The tinfoil hat is on my head for he was her downfall.
Mm-hmm.
Not saying it's first degree murder, but it is. He is just a textbook example of abusive partner. And yeah, he just completely isolated her. And obviously, neither him nor Sharon noticed how sick she was, or they didn't take any action to how sick she was. It was a totally preventable thing.
Yes.
Her career just took like a little bit of a dip when she met him. And so she was vulnerable and he swooped in because apparently he had this talent for, you know, manipulating vulnerable women or coming into women's lives right when they are a little bit more sensitive.
Yep.
And so then he dug his claws in, and it's sad to think about how better of a role she would have gotten if she hadn't been with him, because it was a lot of their relationship that kind of ruined her career. And obviously his comments about her physically and how
Yes.
Her body weight and stuff. And you just start to think about, oh my God, if she just hadn't met him, it could have been fine.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been in crazy good roles because she was very, very talented. It was just him.
Surrounding. Yeah. And it's so important to note, like, the power of your mind. Like, when you're going through the verbal and emotional abuse like that, like, that can take a huge toll on you physically, because then you don't want to eat anymore. Like, and it's not even like thinking about a breakup, right, where you're just sad. It's like you're not trying to not eat. Sometimes, like, your stomach, you're just like, you don't feel like eating.
You're so,
like,
sad.
You're just so sad. So if you apply that to her life, maybe she's so sad about her, like, her career and her life, and just, like, the person that she's around. Just, it's so sad.
Right.
Yeah. I think, like, the crazy thing that just, like, bothers me is just that how preventable this was.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like her personality just shown through. Like, I knew, even not even through her characters necessarily, it's like you could tell that she was this bubbly person. She was interesting and she had a knack for acting and was a complete natural. So, just gone too soon. One thing about the documentary that stood out to me, the fact that they talked about these people who do their makeup, and then they talk about,
I know,
the, you know, story, which I understand we're pretty much in the same, like, vein of that, like, talking about a mysterious topic, but it was just weird. Like, some of them had, like, one eyebrow done, you know?
Yeah, and I'm like, who are these people? But again, we're nobody too, so it's
fine. Yeah. I think what was interesting was just the fact that, I guess this is what they were trying to show. They were trying to show, like, people are talking about it, but we're all not experts either. But we're taking their accounts and, like, storytelling into this documentary. I'm like, exactly. I don't know. Like, this seems, like, a little weird.
Yeah, I thought so too. But I guess they were just trying to get the viewpoint of the common people, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
They want, like, with no connection to her whatsoever, they're just trying to put that in. But yeah, I thought it was, I'm like, how do they choose these three people?
Like,
out of all the people on YouTube that are talking about Brittany Murphy, you chose
exactly these three. Exactly. Well, that concludes today's episode on Brittany Murphy. Let us know what you guys think. Definitely an untimely death in Hollywood. It's just sad to see where the potential could have been for her. But we do have a lot of good episodes to round up 2021. So
crazy.
Stay tuned. Yeah, insane. Can't believe that this year is almost over. But if you haven't already, be sure to follow us on Instagram at BareRootsPod, B-A-R-E, and give ours a 5-star review. You know, whether you listen on Apple Music or Spotify, you know, tell us how much you love us.
Oh, and this is our 50th episode.
Oh my gosh. Happy 50th. I was going to say anniversary.
Happy 50th anniversary.
So exciting. Oh my God. We've come so far.
So many topics.
So many topics. Thank you all to those who have been listening since day one. We love you guys. And be sure to, you know, spread the love. Tell somebody that you know to listen to Bare Roots Pod, because we have a lot of great topics. So there's only going to be more coming down the line. So without further ado, we'll see you guys in a couple weeks. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.